this morning, I want us to focus on this very important issue of sharing Christ with the world, even though it might be through struggle and sacrifice. And what I want us to do is look at a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, which you have just read, which is the angel's announcement to Mary that she will become the bearer of the Christ child. I want us to feel with her what she felt in that moment and how she dealt with that, not only in the 9 months of her pregnancy, but all the way to the cross as she saw her beloved son crucified. It's very important for us to walk with her through that experience in this Advent season as we get ready for Christmas. Christmas is coming very soon, and the Advent season is designed to help us grow in our faith, to prepare our hearts for the real meaning of Christmas, the birth of Christ. So today I want us to ask ourselves, how sensitive are we to what God is saying to us, and how committed are we to obeying what he says, even though it might be difficult? So let's look together. Keep your scriptures open to Luke chapter 1. Verses 26 to 38. And I want us to see three very important truths out of this scripture passage. So it's Luke 1, 26 to 38. And the first thing I want us to see as a truth out of God's word is that God chooses the unlikely. The unlikely. He is surprising in the way he chooses people to serve him. That's a theme we find throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, God chose the nation of Israel to be his people, a small nation, a nation that didn't seem to offer the world much, yet God chose them. God chose Abraham and Sarah. You remember his call to them to leave home at the age of 75, and Abraham and Sarah left because God called them to go hundreds of miles to the west so that they might say yes to God's call. God chose Moses, a man who was not a good public speaker, a man who felt he lacked strength and the authority to go and do what God called him to do. He was a shepherd, and yet God chose him. God chooses the unlikely. God chose Ruth. Remember the Moabitess woman who was a widow, and yet God chose her to begin the royal line that culminates in King David. God chose David, an unlikely person. Samuel anoints one of Jesse's boys, what might be considered the one least likely to be chosen. And the reason that he was chosen is that God saw something in David that others did not. When you look in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, you'll learn something about God that I want you to remember about yourself. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the," what? "Heart." God looks at the heart. You know, we are in a culture that focuses on the surface of things. How we look, how much we earn, what we accumulate. But God looks deeper. He wants to know what is inside of us. He wants to know, are we willing to use what he's given us to serve him? So as we think of Mary, I think we need to ask the question, what was God looking for in Mary when he chose her instead of many, many other people he could have chosen? Was it because she was excessively beautiful? Well, we don't know, but the art through the centuries has not portrayed her as dramatically beautiful. It wasn't really God's concern how she looked. Was it her education? No, she was probably uneducated. Was it because she was from a prestigious city? No, Nazareth was a little bitty town in the northern province of Galilee, and most people just didn't go there. She was not an older woman. Mary was probably 14 or 15 years old when the angel Gabriel came to her, and God spoke through the angel to call Mary to do a difficult thing. So what was God looking for? Well, he was looking for a person whose heart was willing to serve him. Someone whose inner character was one that he could work through to bring about what he intended to do for the world. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. And if you want to know what kind of heart, what kind of inner character God really likes to find in people, then you'll find that right here in Colossians 3, beginning with verse 12. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. Those are the character qualities that God is looking for. And whenever those qualities are found in folks like you and me, God can do His work, God can accomplish His will, and we can experience the joy of saying yes to His purpose for our life. Colossians 3 helps us to understand who we need to be, how we need to look on the inside. And so you might be thinking, what do I have to offer God? Why does God want to work through folks like us, folks like me? And if you're thinking that, then maybe you are in the right place to be used by Him. He's looking for a willing heart. God uses the unlikely. You might think you have nothing to offer. You might think that other people should be called by the Lord, not you. Don't think that. God wants to work through you to accomplish His purpose through your life. God chooses the unlikely. Secondly,
God accomplishes the unexplainable
God is able to accomplish things that we can't understand or explain. I want us to explore that a little bit. He loves to do what we least expect. He works through mystery. His ways are not our ways. Now, usually He works through the natural laws that He put in place in this world, but He isn't limited to them as we are limited. He loves to surprise us. We must not limit Him to do what we think He can do. God sends the angel Gabriel to her, to Mary, as we read in Luke chapter 1. Now, Gabriel is mentioned twice in the Old Testament coming to Daniel. There, we don't see him as a winged creature. Gabriel is a messenger of God. God is speaking through Gabriel there in the book of Daniel. Gabriel again comes to Mary. And we are told that the angel had wings. But we are told that the angel came with a very important word to Mary. And there it is in Luke 1, verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." What a surprising, mysterious word that is to Mary. Gabriel tells Mary that she, a virgin, will give birth to a son who is the Messiah, the one foretold for centuries. How do you think Mary felt when she got that message from Gabriel?
Scared.
You think she was afraid? Scared? Confused? All of that. Her question is kind of sums all of that up. Verse 34, "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" It kind of captures for us our typical reaction to miracle and mystery, doesn't it? To God's unexplainable calling to us to do something that wasn't on our agenda, something we had not planned to do, but God is calling us to do that. Mary is clearly struggling with the virgin birth. And Another person who had to struggle with that was Joseph. You remember his struggle? We talked about him 2 weeks ago in Matthew 1. You see Joseph in Matthew 1 struggling with the unexplainable. And the angel had to come to him and explain what God was doing through him and Mary. And if you don't believe that God can do things outside the ordinary, explainable ways of life, then you can't believe this story. But I hope you will believe this story because it's true. God chose to work through Mary in a way that we cannot explain. It's mystery. It's grace wrapped in mystery. We have to come to the point in our faith to believe that God can do things which we can't understand. Are you there yet? Are you there in your faith? Are you willing to let God be God in your life, though you cannot contain Him, you can't explain Him, but He is real and He has a purpose for your life? God does things that we can't explain. He can call elderly people like Abraham and Sarah to have a baby. He can, through Moses, part the sea to save a nation. He can, through David, slay Goliath with a sling and a rock. And God can do wonderful things we can't explain today. Christians, and especially non-Christians, often have struggles with these things. After all, who can explain or understand the virgin birth? The virgin birth is a real fact. It's how God brought His Son into the world. But how did He do that? I don't know how He did that. Many times in our walk with God, we have to trust God, though we cannot explain all of His ways. It's a challenge. But the virgin birth was not a challenge for God. I mean, He created this world, this immensely complex world in which we live. He created the human genetic code that we are just now beginning to understand. God's ways are not our ways, and we need to be humble before Him. Is it really that hard to believe that He could touch the womb of Mary and cause Jesus to be born through her? We all have to be willing to embrace a bit of mystery in life, don't we? We are not supposed to have it all figured out. We're supposed to be open and humble before the mysterious will of God and be ready to say yes to what He wants us to do. There needs to be room for mystery in your life, in your relationships, in the purpose that you're trying to live according to. C.S. Lewis wrote a series of books called The Chronicles of Narnia. Have you read those books? Chronicles of Narnia? And in those books, there is a phrase that is applied to Jesus. Jesus is named Aslan, and Aslan is a lion. And in the books, you often see the words, "He is not a tame lion." Remember that? It's a reminder to us that God is not a tame God. We cannot fit Him into our plans all the time. He keeps breaking out of the box that we construct for Him. He loves to break into your life and inspire you with His mystery and confound you with His knowledge and surprise you with His plan for your life. He just likes to do that, because He wants to work through you. So don't be surprised if you have some doubts or struggles or questions. God knows how He works in this world and in your life, and He is aware that we are limited in our comprehension of and our reaction to mystery. He's not put off by our difficulty to understand what He wants us to do. And while I don't believe we should worship Mary, I do think we should appreciate her greatly as she makes a faith-based response, expressing her willingness to follow God's plan, though she could not understand it. Now, I really think we need to be ready to open our lives to the fullness of God. This virgin birth that we read about in Luke 1 is one way in which God is speaking into this world and into our lives. It's not so much about biology. The virgin birth is a whole lot more about theology. It's about how God works in life to accomplish His purpose. There's a wonderful verse that I want you to make note of. It's Ephesians
3, verse 20.
And if you want to turn in your Bible with me to that verse, I'd like for us to look at it just for a moment. Ephesians 3, 20. And listen to what it says. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He's able to do that. And we need to let God be God in our lives, in our marriages, in our church, in our world. We need to pray and live into the powerful truth of Ephesians 3:20. God is able to accomplish the unexplainable. He sometimes does that through the ordinary and sometimes through the extraordinary. We can't predict when he will do that. We can't force him to do that. But we must wait and trust and let him act according to his purpose. Remember what the angel said to Mary in verse 37 of Luke 1. If you have your Bibles, look at Luke 1, verse 37. The angel's word to Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. What a wonderful faith declaration that is. So you need to come to that point in your own faith journey to let God be God, and where you can conclude nothing is impossible with him. Humble yourself before him and let him work. So far we've seen God chooses the unlikely. I mean, he's choosing folks like you and me. He chose Mary. God accomplishes the unexplainable. And finally,
God's favor often includes struggle and sacrifice.
When Mary heard the angel's message, we imagine she was filled with anxiety, confusion, fear. She didn't really understand what God was asking her to do. And we do know that Mary's song celebrating God's work in her life is found there in verses 46 to 56, a song that we have come to call the Magnificat, a song that breaks out with the words, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." What a song. But probably there was a period of time between the announcement by the angel of what God was going to do in Mary's life and the song that Mary sang concerning God's work in her life. It could have been several months as she struggled to try to cope with what God was calling her to be. The angel says to Mary in Luke 1:30, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I want you to notice that there in verse 30. Actually, it's in verse 28. "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And then in verse 29, "Mary was greatly troubled." Put those two phrases together. Highly favored, greatly troubled. We have sometimes concluded that if God favors us, we're going to be healthy and wealthy and wise and everything is going to go well for us. Highly favored. But then we are not really in tune with what God is doing in our life if we think that is the only way he's going to work in our life. Because often what God does when he comes into our life with his purpose is create situations where we might become very greatly troubled. That's what happened with Mary. Remember those two phrases in her life and how she must have dealt with that all her life. She was a young woman who would have to explain her pregnancy. According to Jewish law, she could be stoned for what appeared to be a gross moral lapse. The path forward for her included her relationship with the people in her little community there, Nazareth. Those folks would have gossiped about her and would have judged her for what appeared to be a wrong decision she had made. Her journey of struggle and sacrifice began with the angel's announcement and continued for 30 years, ending at the foot of the cross as she saw her son crucified. In the Bible, it's very clear that when God favors you, his favor can come with a difficult calling. Be ready for that. Typically, when God favors people, he calls them to struggle and sacrifice. Think of Abraham and Sarah. He favored them, but that calling involved a lot of sacrifice. Moses having to confront mighty Pharaoh. David being chased by King Saul for a decade. Wrote Psalms of complaint about that. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So following God and experiencing his favor sometimes means that we have to take the difficult path, the one less traveled. God's favor toward us is not about our happiness. Okay? His favor toward us is our willingness to open our life to his will, whatever that will means for us in terms of struggle and sacrifice. The challenge we as Christians face today is to resist the mistaken common notion that God's purpose is about our happiness. When we do say yes to God's favor and his call, and we accept the struggle and the sacrifice associated with it, we will find joy and peace, but it will often have to be found along the difficult path. How long did Moses plead with God for somebody else to do what God had called him to do? How often did David wish that he wasn't the chosen king? How many times did Mary say to God, oh Lord, this is too heavy, this is hard? And yet, when we say yes to what God is calling us to do, accepting the struggle and the sacrifice, God can do some mighty things in your life. He can bring you some great joy and peace that passes understanding. Mary is one who can teach us how to embrace the truths of God's word that we're seeing today. She was surprised that he chose her. She was willing to let God be God in her life, even though she couldn't explain him. And she was willing to say yes to God's purpose, even though his favor of her called her to struggle and sacrifice. What was her response? That's what I want to conclude with. Look at verse 38. Verse 38, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. What a response. Lord, she might have been saying, Lord, I don't understand what you're calling me to do. It doesn't fit into my plans I had developed for my life. It's going to be hard, Father. Nevertheless, I'm your servant. And whatever you want, my answer is yes. How about you? Is that your answer? God is speaking to you. He's calling you. It may be full of joy. It also might include struggle and sacrifice. So as we ponder these three very important lessons we're learning from God's word, I hope that all of us will come to the point where we can say to the Lord, Father, I'm your servant. Let it be to me just as you have said. Would you pray with me? And as you pray, I'd like to ask you to pray silently for a moment. Remember Mary's words to the Lord when she heard his call. Lord, I'm your servant. May it be to me as you have said. Let those words be the pattern for your prayer this morning. God is favoring you with his calling, but the calling might include struggle and sacrifice. So what is your response? Offer your life to him this morning and serve him faithfully. Lord, how grateful we are that you don't require a certain ACT score or a certain outward beauty or a certain income level in order for you to choose to work through us. We who don't feel that we have anything special to offer you are people through whom you choose to act. Lord, how grateful we are that you're able to do that which we can't explain or imagine. Help us, O God, to see the many ways in which you are working that we aren't expecting and that we can't define or understand. And finally, O God, we pray that our hearts might find favor with you and that you would use us to do your work. And that when you call us to take the hard path, the narrow path, the difficult path, O God, may we be found faithful. That we would have the courage to pursue your will and that we would do it in ways that bring honor and glory to your name. Help us all to say with Mary in our hearts each day, here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. Do with me according to your will. Bless these, your people, as they seek to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.